There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour when he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No. Shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through his blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Sometimes Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the
morning. It is our privilege to have Dr. Gomez with us. He's the professor of the School of Medicine at Loma Linda. He's also a director of surgery clerkship. He's dealing with endocrine surgery, surgical oncology, and trauma surgery. Probably some of you here, the ones who benefited from his treatment, been his patients, or maybe happy students. He's well respected by his students and by his patients. And this morning, he's with us to address the topic of healthy lifestyle and how the fourth commandment can positively affect our health and in particular keep our adrenal glands in check. So welcome, Dr. Gomez.
Thank you very much. Good morning. You have a beautiful church, both in structure and in content. I want to talk to you a little bit about a 12-year-old little girl. Let's see, it'd be the next slide. Any 12-year-olds here? I know there's for sure there's one because her birthday was today. She turned 12. Any other 12-year-olds? Okay. Well, this 12-year-old little girl was getting headaches when she had her PE class. I don't know if in sixth grade, do they call it PE? They do still? Okay. And she was getting headaches. She didn't know really what to call it. She just had her head hurt, and she wanted to stay out of the games that the coach had for them. And so she actually tended to get in trouble and then sent home or they considered her to be faking it and sent to the nurse's office or to the principal's office. But the headaches, it didn't end with the headaches. It actually got worse, and it started with changes in her vision. She would see little dingies floating, and it would go away. And then if she tried to participate in PE, she felt weak. Her legs felt weak. She felt like her heart was palpitating too hard and almost faint. And one time she passed out. And when she passed out in school, you know, they realized, oh, she wasn't faking it. They took her to the nurse's office, who then called an ambulance, took her to the local hospital, and the pediatrician then, you know, saw her there. And that was very, very weird, because this 12-year-old's blood pressure was 250 over like 110. So super, super abnormal, right? So what kind of things can cause that kind of blood pressure? Well, several things. But one thing that the pediatrician thought of was, well, let's just check her blood for adrenaline. And her adrenaline level was very high. And so what could cause a very high adrenaline level? Well, they sent her to Loma Linda, where she got further studies. She got some x-rays, an MRI, and they found a tumor in her adrenal gland. Well, the adrenal gland is where the adrenaline comes from, right? That's why it's called adrenal gland adrenaline. And this tumor produced excess adrenaline without any regulation. Any kind of stimulation to just release tons of adrenaline. And the poor little girl couldn't handle that, and she would pass out and have palpitations and that kind of thing. Eventually, we operated on her, took out her tumor, and next thing, you know, after she recovered, mom calls me and she says, you know, she's back and she's doing PE and she's really enjoying it. And that right there was the satisfaction. I mean, for surgeons, who we like to operate and we love doing what we do, the technical things, but not as much as hearing that everything went well and this 12-year-old kid is back to doing what she's supposed to be doing. Probably a little getting in trouble, but mostly being able to participate with her friends and being part of her life as it was supposed to be. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, not adrenal tumors per se, but how that ties into the rest of our health and our life. So let's go into a little bit of a background. Some adrenal physiology and some anatomy. Let's see the next slide. I hope the pictures that I selected don't gross you out. This is just an abdomen, okay? Just an abdomen, as is commonly seen. Next slide, please. This is, so we take the skin off, take the muscles off, and you see the liver, the gallbladder, that's the one in green. You see the guts there, too. That's a technical word, by the way. Guts is a medical term. And then let's go to the next slide. And we remove the small intestine. So now we see that behind there, those two white lines, those are the ureters. Okay, next slide. Remove the large intestine, and we see the kidneys behind the liver and the spleen. The spleen's that little purple one up there on the left. Next slide. We remove the stomach. There's the pancreas. It's another organ that I like to operate on whenever I get a chance. Next slide. Okay, we remove the liver, and now we're seeing what's behind everything. These are the most posterior organs, the kidneys and the pancreas. And then finally, next slide, please. Finally, oh, they told me I should touch my nose. Is that okay? Okay, so finally, we get to the adrenal glands. They're the very most posterior organ in the body. If you go behind the adrenal glands, basically you're touching the muscle on the back. You're getting through to the back. You'd be on the ribs and that kind of thing. So now we've seen kind of where they are positioned anatomically. Let's go to the next slide. And so now let's just take a look at the right and the left gland. The right one has a triangular look. The left one looks semi-lunar. And next slide. Let's look at a little slice of one. What might it look like under the microscope? And I'm sorry if it sounds kind of lectury, but it's what I do normally. Is give a lecture on this stuff, so I will try to back off from the lecturing part and make it more friendly. We're friends, right? So just considered me sharing something that I really like, that I like to talk about, that I like to study with my friends. And so let's go to the next slide. So this is what it might look like under the microscope. So the next slide, the inner part, it's called the adrenal medulla. That part is where the adrenaline comes from. And if you notice, I don't know if you can tell, but on the screen it has the green and little red dots. That is supposed to signify that it has a stronger blood supply. Because what happens, the adrenaline is that hormone that, what would they call the fight or flight response. Have you guys ever heard a sound or saw a shadow that just made your hair just stand on end, like immediately, right? Okay, that, and you were ready to punch or run or pass out. I don't know. So, you know, we all have different defense mechanisms. But that's the hormone that allows us to do that. You ever heard of the grandmother who picked up the car off the grandchild? Right? Okay, that's it right there. That is what causes your arteries to constrict, increase the blood pressure, increases the blood supply to the muscles, takes blood away from the intestines. The intestines don't need blood at this moment. You're not thinking about food. You're thinking about life preservation. So that's the hormone that is responsible for those functions. If you were hunting, that's what's going to make you think that you can overcome the bison, right? And whatever you have to do to take it down. Okay, next slide. Okay, working our way out, the next layer of the adrenal gland is the one that produces testosterone or estrogen, depending on whether you're male or female. So in females, it produces the testosterone. In males, it's what makes men connect to their feminine side. It produces the estrogen. And if you have a tumor in that part of the adrenal gland, that tumor might produce excess of one or the other hormone in an unregulated fashion, such that you will notice changes on your body. Okay, next slide. This one is really the one I want to talk to you guys about today. This is not just a stress hormone. This is the stress hormone, cortisol. And cortisol has many, many effects, which I will talk a little bit more in another slide. But for now, I want to tell you, this is the hormone that when you fast, when you're not eating, and your body is sensing a need for food, but it's not getting it, cortisol is released, and it tells your liver, hey, buddy, you've been storing up some calories for me. It's time to let go. And the liver releases some sugar into the bloodstream for the rest of the body to continue functioning. Cortisol allows the adrenaline to work. So adrenaline without cortisol has no function. It's like sugar without insulin. In the hospital, one of the lectures I teach is on adrenaline insufficiency or adrenal insufficiency. How does a doctor know that the patient's adrenal glands are not working? The blood pressure is low. They give him adrenaline in an IV drip, and the blood pressure doesn't respond. But as soon as they get a shot of cortisol, everything gets back to normal. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So the very outer rim of the gland produces aldosterone. Aldosterone is a hormone that helps you regulate water content in your body and salt content. So it retains salt. This is where the whole don't eat too much salt because it raises your blood pressure comes from. Okay, aldosterone causes you to retain salt, which causes you to retain water. But it kicks out potassium in the process. And people who have too much aldosterone will develop cramps from not enough potassium. They also have very poorly controlled blood pressure. And these things are reversible when the tumor in that area is removed. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So let's talk in a little bit more about cortisol, because really that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about is how does, even if you don't have a tumor, why would we have excess cortisol or how would stress affect that? So it increases the sugar levels in your blood in the times of fasting. Also, what about in times of not sleeping? So let's say you're supposed to be asleep. You don't go to bed. You stay up because you're studying. You have a night shift. You're watching a movie. It doesn't matter. Your body and your brain know what you're supposed to be doing, and you do too, but you don't feel guilty enough to go to bed, so you stay up late, and your body's sensing stress. So the cortisol level has to remain higher than it's supposed to be, and it's kicking out sugar. See, just because you think you know what you need to do doesn't override the body's mechanisms. And so the cortisol is released, and all the functions that go with it get activated. The sugar, and so it can actually turn you diabetic, having high levels of cortisol. And to make sugar, let's say your liver runs out of sugar, because the liver really stores about 3 to 5 days worth of sugar for you if you're fasting. After that, you know where the body makes more sugar from if you're not able to eat it? It consumes you. It breaks down your muscle. It breaks down the fat under your skin. That's why people develop the sunken eyes, because the fat behind the eyeball starts to get consumed. The fat in the on the temples. So your body starts consuming itself. It early on, at a first boost of cortisol, at a low dose, it might improve your immune system. And we know that because we see when we give patients a shot of cortisol for a brief period, the white blood cells go up in their blood. And the white blood cells are the ones that fight infection. And it doesn't do this by stimulating the bone marrow. It actually has a very interesting function. If you imagine that there's a wall behind me, right here, and this wall is the wall of an artery, and I'm a white blood cell. And so I'm rolling along, and I decide there's too many white blood cells, so I'm going to stick right here. And all my friends start sticking to the wall. It's called margination. They stick to the margins. And all my friends are flowing. I see, hi, red blood cell. Hey, little guy, that's the platelet. And suddenly there's some cortisol, excess cortisol, that's telling me there's some stress going on. It could be an infection. It could be I'm in a fight. It doesn't matter what it is. But that causes these marginated white blood cells to get released. And suddenly they're flowing around in the bloodstream, and there's more soldiers available to fight the stressful fight. If that cortisol level remains high, however, for a long period of time, it's going to suppress the immune system, and you'll be more prone to infection. So early on, it helps. Over a prolonged period of time, it inhibits. And that's why we use cortisol or cortisol medications to suppress the immune system in patients who get a organ transplant. Okay, next slide, please. So this is what the pattern of cortisol production might be like in a day. So around 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 9 a.m., it peaks. Why? That's when we're supposed to be awake. So your ability to be alert, the ability for adrenaline to function, for your liver to kick out blood sugar if you need it, if you didn't have breakfast, that's when it's at its best. You see the peak there at the serum cortisol level. And then as the day goes on, the level wanes off, and it's at its lowest just after 9 p.m. Well, what are you supposed to do at that time? You're supposed to go to bed. You're supposed to go to, you don't need to respond to any stress except the ones in your dreams, right? So if you stay up, now here's where the stressful part comes in, right? If you stay awake, you're demanding your body continue producing more cortisol. And it throws off this, and if you do it over and over and over and over, you could see how that could throw off this circadian rhythm. Let's go to the next slide. So I found this quote from Benjamin Franklin. He that can take rest is greater than he that can take cities. Let's explore the idea of rest now that we've gotten stressed out a little bit, okay? So I noticed some patterns. You know, at first I thought about the fourth commandment and rest one day in seven. And then I thought, well, what about within the day? How many times do we rest within the day? What about within the hour? Do we need a mini mental break within the hour? So let's go to the next slide. So within minutes, we have limits to our attention span, known as focused attention. Let's go to the next slide. I have a quote from Diane Duquette. One slide back. Thank you. Most healthy teenagers and adults are unable to sustain attention on one thing for more than 20 minutes. And that's why the pastor gave me only 20 minutes left to finish this talk. It was perfect timing. 20 minutes at a time, although they can choose to repeatedly refocus on the same thing. This ability to renew attention permits people to pay attention to things that last for more than a few minutes, such as a long movie or reading a long book or even a long conversation, right? But somewhere in that conversation or movie or lecture, we need a mini mental break. Because our ability to remember or follow the trail of something for more than 20 minutes, really we're getting a little stressed. Okay, next slide, please. And that's why I put this slide in here. Maybe this was supposed to be the 20-minute mark. I don't know. It came early. But anybody recognize that? That is a view from Machu Picchu in Peru. I didn't take a picture. Well, I did take a picture, but I didn't show it to you guys, of what the Machu Picchu ruins look like, because I figure everybody has seen that. And I wonder, I bet the Incas didn't stand around and marvel at their own buildings. They're the ones who put them there. I bet you they marveled at their surroundings, which is why they put their buildings in that location. And so I started to look around at how beautiful that valley was. Okay, next picture. This is a picture of a few faculty and staff from the university. We went to Peru. Peru started a medical school, an Adventist medical school, about 3 years ago. I think they're just starting their fourth year. And we went to help them out with curriculum development, faculty development, etc. You see there's a condor right behind the group. And I was trying to match the hairstyle of the condor. That's me on the bald head on one side. Okay, next slide. This lady was trying to sell her goods. They have about 1,500 varieties of potatoes. They have purple potatoes with green skin, green potatoes with yellow skin, and all varieties, very dense potatoes, soft potatoes, hard potatoes, salty potatoes. Next slide. And these young ladies were there in the market, probably buying some goods. Do you guys recognize what kind of animal they're holding there? It's a little llama. Yeah, it's a baby llama. Yeah, super cute, the little llamas. Okay, next slide. Okay, so we're ready to refocus, right? Okay, so we need a break, a rest, within minutes, right? And then within hours. What do we call that break that we need every few hours? Next slide. Yeah, lunch, and we're going to get that pretty soon, okay? In the hospital, I'm trying to remember which unit it was. I seem to remember it was one of the ICU units. Some of the nurses would use their lunch break, not so much to eat. So the need for the break is not so much the need for food. It's the need to kind of move around, stretch your muscles a little bit. Sure, get some food. But what these nurses were doing is they were walking up the stairs, the nine floors of the hospital, as many times as they could in their half-hour break, and then with the very last ride down the elevator, they would go and get a cup of frozen yogurt. And that was their lunch, the frozen yogurt. But they used most of their lunch walking up the stairs. So they needed a break, and it wasn't so much that they needed the food. They just needed to stretch their legs, get some exercise, have conversation that was not related to their work, a bigger mini mental break than the one they had been taking. Now, what about daily? Let's see the next slide. So daily, we need the sleep, which we talked about earlier, right? Now let's talk a little bit. I found some interesting things about sleep that scare me. And they scare me because I'm a very sleep-deprived person, both in training for surgery. It's hard on your sleep. And then sometimes our schedule gets away from us, and we should have better control of that. But this is why it scared me. Next slide. Well, we went over this already. Let's go to the next slide. This was related to Alzheimer's disease. And what they have found recently, well, one thing we have known already, when they examined the brains of folks with Alzheimer's, there's something called amyloid plaques, these tangles of this material that causes plaques within the brain, and they think this is responsible for what happens with Alzheimer's. And the thinking is that while we sleep, the brain cells are clearing out this amyloid, kind of resetting, making room for a buildup for the next day. And if you don't sleep, you don't get that recycling, if you will. researchers at the University of Rochester Medical School found that when mice slept, the cells in the brains literally shrank, making more room for the flow of fluids through the brain. This increased the flow of fluid, and it acted something like the jet sprays on a dishwasher, flushing away harmful waste products like the beta amyloid. The next slide. To the degree that poor sleep promotes the development of Alzheimer's disease, treatments for poor sleep or efforts to maintain healthy sleep patterns may help prevent or slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. So it can affect us significantly, and things that we do today to have better sleep are going to be benefits that we reap not just in the immediate future with more energy the next day, but for the long term too. Other things that sleep will help us with: cognition and memory. It actually optimizes testosterone and hormone levels. And testosterone, for all involved, women, young people, men, it is a hormone that helps your muscles repair. So if you're exercising, whether you're male or female, testosterone helps your muscles repair faster or recover faster after exercise or some stressful event. Maybe it wasn't exercise. Maybe it was a long day of work. Also increases growth hormone, which is dubbed the anti-aging hormone, because it helps repair aging skin, aging muscles, aging tendons. Okay, one more back. Okay, so this is basically the fourth commandment expanded. And before I go further, I wanted to read it. How often do we read the whole thing? I mean, we know it says that remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, but what else does it say? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, functionally, it's really, really hard to achieve this. I mean, the deacon who walked into the church and opened the church this morning, flipped the light switch, I'm sure he expected the lights to go on. That means somebody is working somewhere with Southern California Edison, keeping the lights going, right? So functionally, our society has developed in such a way, it's really, really hard. We have made it hard for us to get this rest as a society. But be that as it may, we will try. Next slide. The Illinois Department of Labor has a one-day rest in seven act. So it's law that, I'll just read the quote directly from the Department of Labor website. Employees at a minimum of 24 hours of rest in each calendar week and a meal period. So it provides rest for one day a week. It provides rest for within their shift for their lunch break, no later than 5 hours after the start of the shift. And then it has a little caveat. So the law allows employers to secure permits from the department to work employees the seventh day, provided that the employee had voluntarily elected to work. So I don't know how people volunteer to work that extra day, but I suppose if your boss asks you to volunteer, you know, if your job's on the line, I'm not sure how many would say no. But now we see that governments recognize that it's important. From the beginning, God made it important, even before the Ten Commandments, right? Next slide, please. So reclaiming the lost practice, a weekly rest in our life. So what are some things that we can do to make sure that our cortisol levels and our adrenaline levels and all those other hormones, some of them not from the adrenal gland, and the recuperation from our brain, our muscles, our bones, how can we make sure they take place? So I have seven suggestions/recommendations, things that maybe we can do or attempt to try and make it a little bit easier on us. Next slide, please. Number one, find contentment in your current life. Are you striving for something unreachable? More education is good, but what are you sacrificing? More work, more money is good. What are you sacrificing? A bigger house could be good. We opted for a smaller house because it's easier to clean. That means it's easier to get to rest. Okay, plan your rest. You know, how many of us plan our vacations? I heard somewhere that if you devote the same amount of energy to planning the next 5 years of your life as we do to planning a two-week vacation, most people would be set because they are anticipating enough of what they want to do and how they're going to do it. And we rarely sit down and think about, what do I want to do for the next 5 years? In the same way, plan your rest. Well, going back to number two, sometimes the Sabbath starts out a little hectic, right? You got to get here by 9:30 or 9:10, or depends on what function you may have, and you're kind of running around, and you wish it started a little bit later. And it's, sometimes I feel, well, I mean, geez, if we can get the kids to school every day by 7:45, you know, why does Saturday feel so rushed by 9:30? You know, and sometimes it's lack of planning. That means that my Saturday's not going smooth because I didn't use my Friday right. And if my Friday is ending too late, that's because I didn't finish my Thursday off right. You see how that can, you know, become a chain of events. Okay, number three, take responsibility for your life. You know, they say that real property is the only real thing of value that you can own, because no one can take it away from you. It tends to go up in value, etc. Well, your body is even more valuable than that. However, your body can be changed, right? We see people who end up getting an amputation from a diabetic foot infection. Does that mean they're no longer valuable? They're still valuable. So what's more valuable than your body? Your mind. Your mind is the one thing that can't be taken away. That's really where you need to focus or invest your energy for preservation. And that goes back to what we talked a little bit about, the link between sleep and Alzheimer's disease. Number four, embrace simplicity. Does your vacation really need to be that complicated? We went, well, this was a mission trip, but we went to Guam, and the whole family, the four of us, and we went to Hawaii first. That's just the way that the plane took us. I think if they would have taken us straight to Guam, that would have been nice. However, things have a funny way of working out. We stopped in Hawaii, and the next pilot, his wife got in a car accident and was taken to the hospital, and he couldn't pilot the plane. He went to the hospital. So we were stuck. They couldn't use just any plane because the flight from Hawaii to Guam stops at like six or eight small islands. The islands are the size of their runway, and the pilot is a special pilot who knows how to stop on time or in time, and so we had to wait for such a pilot to get freed up, and it took 2 days. And so while we were waiting for 2 days, you know, they put us up at a hotel somewhere there, and we thought, well, how do we make our vacation, you know, our mission trip, you know, nice? So we looked to see what is there to do here in Hawaii. Well, there's a zoo, and there's this vegan place that we wanted to try, and we set out on foot, and man, when we got back home, we were so tired. It did not feel like rest. We tried to pack in so much into one overlay that we almost didn't enjoy Hawaii, although we did do some snorkeling. Okay, next slide. Include your family. That could be your immediate family. Family you haven't seen or visited, but really it's a time of rejuvenation, not just for your body, but maybe for your relationships. Studies have shown that when we see other people smiling, right, so I'm looking for smiles because I want my blood pressure to be lowered, it actually lowers our blood pressure. There's some response when we see other people being happy that allows us to put our guard down. Next slide. Live within your income. That goes back to taking the extra shift. You know, when you do hospital work, you're often offered to be on call. Take that extra call. There's a certain amount of call that you have to take, but take that extra call for extra pay that weekend. Well, I did promise Gabriel, my son, I was going to take him surfing, but, you know, he also wants me to buy him a car, so should I take the call? Right? It's tempting. You got to say no. You got to put your foot down. Next slide. Realize the shallow nature of a results-oriented culture. We're so competitive, aren't we? I mean, competition is everywhere. There's a story of a missionary who went from the States to a Polynesian island. And he was a graduate from Andrews University. It was one of his first assignments. And he had just met with his new congregation, and they had an evangelical program that they were going to do that afternoon. And he was there on time. Boy, he was a little bit early. The gate was still closed. He didn't get why the gate was still closed. But about 30 minutes after the event was supposed to start, the deacon that opens the gate shows up, opens the gate like nothing's happening. And the missionary is wondering, why is everything starting so late? Did they cancel the event? And the deacon told him, no, I'm sure everyone's going to show up. Just come on in. I'll open the church and we'll get set up. And people started trickling in. And next thing you know, it's about two and a half hours after the event was supposed to start. And he went along and he did it anyways. And he noticed the next week it was the same thing. And the next week, and he couldn't take it anymore, you know. And he asked, why is everybody always so late? And you know what they told him? He said, Pastor, because it is not about when the event starts. It's not about the time. It's about the event itself is what's most important. And having everybody here is what's most important. And starting on time is the third most important thing, right? And I feel like sometimes that happened to us. So let me tell you something interesting that happened to us in Guam. We were behind somebody, the local Guam Clinic let us borrow a little car, and we're behind somebody who's supposed to make a left turn, and I noticed the light turned green, and they didn't go. I waited a little bit, and then the light turned red, and it was like they missed that the light turned green, and I'm like, huh. So it goes through the cycle, and the light turns green again, and before he misses it again, I honked just to make sure that he notices, right? And the person very slowly moved along, and then I noticed that happened a lot. People didn't honk. It was very rude to honk your horn at other cars, and I asked about that, and I said, because where are people going to go? You're on a small island. Oh, my goodness. What is your hurry, right? I was helping out with the clinic, and the first appointment was at 8. Nobody showed before 9:30. Where is the doctor going to go, right? I mean, just to show it, so I accepted the culture, and I stayed in a little later in a little apartment they let us borrow, and I had breakfast with my wife and my children, and we watched cartoons, or I read the newspaper, I studied a little bit, and then I went and I saw the same amount of patients, and when we were done, we enjoyed the company of our guests there too. I still ended up doing the same amount of work, the same number of operations that I was supposed to be doing there. And I realized that I really needed to live more in the moment and enjoy the culture for what it was and enjoy to plan or put or write or pencil into my calendar rest. I think that is the last slide. There's one more. Okay, this one right here. This is perfect. This is Mark talking about what Jesus did for them. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. So Jesus was not happy and excited that they're working so hard, they're not even stopping to eat. Okay, guys, let's go. Let's go to the next town. He recognized the need that they had to rest, to sleep, maybe even some alone time to pray. And I pray that we can find that in our lives, that we can plant it in, lest I be taking out your adrenal gland. Thank you very much for your time. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this beautiful day, for this opportunity to share with my friends, with my brothers and my sisters, to learn a little bit about the plans that you have for us, wonderful, restful, beautiful plans. Thank you for these blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.